We have our reading now, so Kirsty is going to read to us.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling to his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, yep.
Morning, everybody. So we're talking about our front lines. We're talking about the places we find ourselves in Monday to Saturday. And it's interesting, Adam sharing about that culture in some parts of America, not throughout America, but certainly in some parts of America, where, as it used to be here, there's an expectation that you'll go to church and it's kind of part of the culture. That's not quite the case here, is it? And I wonder what goes on in people's minds if you have a conversation with somebody about going, about the fact that you go to church, like this little cartoon suggests. What's going on in people's minds? And it's impossible for us to guess that, really, isn't it? But there might be a whole kind of assumptions that people think when they hear that you go to church. They might categorise you as a certain type of person. And it might be that they have a whole group of expectations about your behaviour, about your views of the world, about things you are allowed to say, things you are allowed to do or not allowed to do. So they might have that kind of in their mind. They might think, oh, this is a church type of person, and therefore they belong to a certain tribe, and, you know, that's where they go. That's the club they belong to, a bit like someone else might join a golf club. You've joined the church club, and that's who you are, and that's where you belong. I often have slightly different conversations. So if I'm getting my hair cut, the barber will say, you know, have you been at work today? And I'll say, oh, I'm a vicar. And I used to get, oh, you look too young to be a vicar. I don't always get that now, so when I do, I treasure it. I say, oh, thank you. But yeah, it doesn't happen very often now. Too much grey hair, I think. But and then that kind of conversation is an interesting conversation to have. What made you want to be a vicar? You know, did you go to church as a child? All those kind of interesting conversations happen. But certain things might be going on in people's minds when they hear that you go to church. And some of those things that people say could be true about it's somewhere where you find belonging and identity. It might have a certain code of kind of ethics and things that you live by. There's some truth to these thoughts. But the New Testament tells us that being part of the church is about so much more than that. Our short reading today is from the start of Peter's first letter to a small group of Christians who were scattered throughout what was ancient Turkey. And he's writing to them because he wants them to understand what it means to be the church, what it means to be the church. We call this, the posh word for this is ecclesiology, what it means to be the church. And in doing this, Peter uses two key words in this short passage, and they are elect and exiles. Neither of those words we use a lot these days, but he says you are elect and you are exiles. So the first word, elect, we probably jump to thinking about elections, because that's where we know the word elect. But here, Peter's using it to refer to being chosen by God. That's what it means to be elect. And so chosen in a particular way, it's chosen by God to be a blessing. So it's not just chosen to receive a blessing yourself, like, oh, thanks God, that's nice. But actually, it's chosen to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. And this comes from the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis at the beginning of the Old Testament. And in that story, Abraham and his descendants are blessed in order to be a blessing. So Abraham is an individual, but he's told that it will be for his family, and then that family become a tribe, and it keeps getting wider and wider and broader and broader. And God blesses them, not just so that that tribe and that family can be blessed, but so that others in other families, in other tribes, in other parts of the world can be blessed. Now, at the time of Abraham, the way that the tribe worked is that it was all about self-preservation. It's all about keeping your tribe together, making sure that your tribe is stronger than that tribe and protecting what you have And you might want to overtake that tribe because you're scared that they might overtake you. And this idea of thinking that our tribe is here to bless other tribes is really new and hard for them to grasp. And in fact, the journey of the Old Testament and the New Testament really is about trying to understand that, the idea that it's not about us who are in this building protecting ourselves. It's about us being blessed so that we can go out and be a blessing. So it's a very different way of being a tribe that God is trying to encourage through Abraham. This diagram was there in the video right at the beginning, and it illustrates, and the dots on the left, on your left-hand side, that 6% of people in the UK attend church, and that 6% it varies between 4% and 6% depending on where you are in the UK. And attending church, I think, in this instance, is about attending at least once a month, and that seems like a really small number, and that influence would therefore be very small. When we gather together, part of why we gather together is to remind ourselves of what we believe. And there are certain things that might entail. Firstly, it might entail we believe that God has created the world and created us. So there's that understanding of this world isn't here by accident. It's here for a purpose, that God has created it. Secondly, we recognise that the world is a broken place. That while it's a beautiful place, it's also a broken place. So we recognise that the world is broken. We see that on the news, we see that all around us, but we also recognise that we're broken. If we're honest, we see the things that are broken inside of us, and we're there alongside friends and family, and we see the brokenness in their lives too. Thirdly, we recognise that there is new life, and forgiveness is possible through Jesus. And we recognise that every time we come to say our confession, and we receive that absolution, that reassurance that God loves us even in our brokenness and can restore and work through our brokenness. And finally, we remind ourselves that one day all things will be transformed and made new through God's love. Through that death and resurrection comes that possibility of new hope and new love. The second word that Peter uses in this passage is exiles. It's translated slightly different in the reading we had this morning. It's to do with being scattered and being foreigners, being in somewhere where you're not used to being. In the Old Testament, God's people lost their land when they were overthrown and exiled. They were taken from their home and their land, and they were forced to live in another place. Now, for tribes, this was the ultimate humiliation, because your tribal identity was all about, we own this land, this is ours, and this is where we live our lives, and we protect our things and our assets, and this is for us. You know, and that's still going on today, isn't it? That sense of tribalism and protecting your land. That's what we need to do. And here, we find that God's people are taken into this place of humiliation, where actually that's all taken away from them. And then into that context, the prophets speak. Those who speak for God speak. And they say that although this was a defeat, the prophets declared that they could still be a blessing in this new land. The fact that their land had been taken away from them didn't destroy the fact that God could still bless them and use them to be a blessing in this new place. In fact, maybe there were now new channels for this blessing because they were in a different place, in a different context. God will bless them even in this difficult time and use them in this new context to bless others. We spend most of our time scattered rather than gathered. So we gathered here for about an hour this morning, but actually the rest of the week we won't be spent together as church. We gather on a Sunday and maybe during the week for a house group or for another particular ministry, but mostly we're not with our fellow Christians, like the dots in the second diagram. And these places that we find ourselves in during the week is where God has called us to be. It's in these scattered places where we're called to live out our faith. God has a purpose for us in our scattered context. And it's important that we don't just become another grey blob, but that we keep our distinctiveness. And that's part of what gathering together on a Sunday is about. I always find it a bit funny for me to be talking about Monday to Saturday context, because quite a lot of my time is spent in the church building. A few weeks ago before Christmas, Ted's five now, and his class from school came down to take part in the prayer spaces for the Advent Star Trail here in church. And they came down, they went round all the prayer spaces, and then they went and had their juice and biscuit before they walked back up to school. And as they were walking out of the building, one of Ted's friends saw a picture of me on the wall and said, "Oh, look, Ted, that's your dad. He lives here." And we had to explain to them that I don't actually live here. But often kids do think that. Oh, so you sleep in the church, do you? But no, I don't. But I do spend quite a bit of time here. I also spend time in schools and in the nursing homes, visiting people in homes and in hospital and in various places in the community. But I was thinking about, before I had this job, when I had a kind of more normal job, if you will, and all those different roles that I've had. And my first ever job was a paper delivery boy, and I chose to do a Sunday round. I think I've always had a thing about only working on a Sunday morning. And so that's why I went for a Sunday. But that was a big mistake, because the problem is on a Sunday, the papers are huge, especially the Observer. The Observer was a nightmare. You get like 16 magazines with it, and people with tiny letterboxes that kind of snap your fingers, and then there's a dog on the other side, and it was just... Eventually, I got sacked from that job. The lovely lady at the newsagent spoke to my dad and said, Philip's not doing too well. I think he's a bit of a daydreamer, and he puts them in the wrong houses. So I stepped back from that job. Didn't go very well. I also worked in a little garden centre. I had a job there on a Saturday. I was a waiter in a pub for a while. I've also been a cleaner and a porter and a car washer. And God has the potential to use me in all of these places. But actually, if I'm honest, I think I wasn't very aware of that. I didn't really think that God could use me as somebody working in a pub or as somebody who cleaned cars. I just didn't see that as a kind of God opportunity. But it's not as though I had to wait until I was a vicar till God could use me. God could use me in any of those places. I just wasn't very aware of it. God has always been with me. And it's not just in my place of work either. God is with me as a parent, as a husband, as a dad, as a friend, as a brother. God is always with us. It's just sometimes we forget that. As part of this series, we're going to be giving people a little gift as you leave church. And today's gift is this little round piece of cardboard. It's actually a coaster or a drink mat. And the idea behind this is that you put this in your front line, so in your house or in your place of work or the place you spend time during the week. And every time you put your drink down on this coaster, you remember you're one of these red dots and that you're sent into your place of work, your place where you find yourselves, to be that red dot, to be that presence of God wherever you are. Peter finishes his opening greeting with a reminder of the wondrous work of the Trinity in our lives. He writes this: You have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ. That one sentence is thick with theology, thick with an understanding of who God is and what it means to belong to Jesus. It begins by saying you've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So we recognise God as our Father and that our situations are known by him. His foreknowledge, he knew where you would be and where he wants you to be. He knows your place of work, your place of living, and he cares about it. He cares about the people that you meet there. Secondly, it's through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. To sanctify means to set apart. The Holy Spirit has set us apart for the situations that we find ourselves in. And all that is in the context of being obedient to Jesus, aligning ourselves with Christ and his purposes in the world. Peter rejoices with his readers in all that God has done for us. And he reminds them, and he reminds us, that we live out the implications of the gospel wherever we find ourselves in our scattered places. We are the elect. We are the exiles. Throughout the coming year, we'll be doing more of these frontline Sundays, and we'll be going on to explore the implications of this for us wherever we are, wherever we do, and whoever we are. And it finishes by looking at what it means to be a disciple, what it means to make community together for the sake of the world. That we are these red dots when we gather together to strengthen one another and to be a distinct people. And that we are our red dots when we scatter into the places we find ourselves in Monday to Saturday. Many different places with many different people. We are people who can make a real difference in the world. I'm going to pray now and then I'm going to hand over to the band. We're going to have a time of worship where we can reflect on where God has placed us and remember that we need to be these distinctive red dots. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reminder this morning that we are blessed in order to be a blessing. Lord, we pray for the many different front lines, in contexts that are represented here this morning by the people who are gathered. The homes, the workplaces, the social spaces. And we think about the people in those contexts, the people that we meet, the people that you call us to. Lord, we acknowledge that often we're not aware that you are with us. We forget, we don't bring it to our mind and it's not in our thinking. Lord, help us to become more and more aware that you are with us, that you have called us to these places, that we can be used by you in whatever context we find ourselves in. And Lord, may our gathering togethers on Sundays and in our house groups, may there be times when these red dots glow a little bit brighter, when we're reminded of your love for us, reminded of who we are and what we're called to. In Jesus' name, amen.